I'm still figuring everything out. I'm just here to learn as much as I can and do as well as I can so that I have opportunities for me when I do graduate. If you're going home every single weekend, then you're not going to grow, you're not going to learn, and you're not going to meet new people.
This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. The College Life Podcast is here to provide you with ideas on how college students can design their life, be mindful and intentional about what they're doing while they're in college. We will also interview people who have already graduated from college, who currently work at a college, and current college students. Each guest will share their story, their struggles, their successes, and offer you tips on how to take ownership and make the most of your time while you're in college. Let's get to it. Hello and welcome to the College Life Podcast. Today I have with me Jordan. She is a first year student. She just finished her first year and she is near and dear to my heart because I got to work with her this year and she's just an incredible person and I cannot wait for you to hear what she has to share. She has so much wisdom and you are going to love this episode. So we're going to go ahead and get right to it. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. Today I have with me a first year student, well, just finished her first year of college, and her name is Jordan. So she's going to share 14 lessons that you have learned while you've been in college about yourself, about life, about college. So I'm really excited for her to share her list of things that she's learned. So first off, Jordan, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got to UNC and what you're doing here currently.
My name is Jordan. I'm from Aurora, Colorado, and yeah, I chose UNC because ultimately it was the best financial decision, and I know a lot of people say like finances shouldn't factor into your decision, but it did for me, and I think I could thrive anywhere I go, so ultimately I chose UNC because I knew I could thrive here, and it was affordable.
And it's pretty close to home, right? It's like
an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. So it's kind of far enough away to get away.
Far enough away where I don't like go home every weekend, but I can see my parents if I need to for whatever reason.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started on the list. Well, actually, wait, first, what's your major? What are you doing here?
I have a double major in psychology and sports and exercise science with a minor in dance. And I'm able to do all of that because I came in with a lot of credit. So technically, although I'm going into my second year of college, I'm considered a junior. So, yeah. I took a lot of psychology classes in high school, like college ones. So my psych degree is almost finished already anyway. So
yeah. And do you know what you want to do after?
Not quite yet. I'm still figuring everything out.
Yeah, I think that's okay. And I think if anybody is listening right now and who doesn't know what they're going to do or what their next step is after college, it's okay not to know.
And
you're right in the midst of it. And I would be curious to know how that is for you. Like, how does that feel for you?
At first it made me feel really uneasy, but I'll get into this when I talk about my list. But you've learned that although people say they know what they have a plan, they might not follow through with that plan or it might not work out. And so I'm just taking it with a grain of salt and I'm just here to learn as much as I can and do as well as I can so that I have opportunities for me when I do graduate. Wherever I go after that, I'll be set.
Yeah.
So like I got a 4.0 my first year and I got the Reicher Scholarship, which is
like a local Colorado scholarship.
And it
pays for everything almost, right?
And it's a 3-year scholarship for rising sophomores, so.
Yeah. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and get started with your list. So let's just go ahead and, number one. What you got?
My first lesson was you never really know what you're doing, which it kind of touched on that in my introduction, but yeah, you never really know what you're doing in regards to many things like making doctor's appointments. That's one thing that I had to learn. I got sick like during the middle of fall semester and I realized I didn't have a doctor up here and my mom doesn't know anything up here, so I had to call the insurance and call the doctor's office and do a screening, and like I had no idea what I was doing the whole time. I was just guessing and going with it.
Yeah, I think that gets a little bit easier the more you do it, but
it still kind of sucks to do it. You're like, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And, like, with classes, you go in and there's so many things that are new to you. Like, you're just going through it. You're faking it until you make it. You don't know where your classes are, so you're just acting like you know where they are, and you go there. And
now, when you first came in, did you feel like everybody else had it figured out?
Yes.
And you were the only one?
Yeah, it felt like everyone already knew what they were doing. Like, when I went to my first psych class here, the teacher, like, mentioned Canvas, and I had no idea what Canvas was. And then she mentioned all this work that we should have had done before we came to class. And I didn't even know what Canvas was, so I didn't have that done. So.
And Canvas is the login system,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, where you can access your grades and your assignments and talk to your professors through, yeah, UNC's portal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and everybody, I think there's different ones out there, like Blackboard. We used to be in Blackboard, too.
Yeah.
And there's other different platforms out there. But, yeah, you have to log into those and figure out that system.
Yeah, just that one is, like, all-encompassing. You never really know what you're doing. And every new experience, you're just, at least for me, I felt like I was faking it till I made it.
Yeah, I think a lot of students feel
that
way.
Yeah, especially as a first generation, I didn't know how the card worked. I didn't know who to talk to about my advising since I was undeclared when I first came here.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's regards to your major too. You never really know what you're doing. As much as I say, like, oh, these are my majors, like, I don't know if I'm going to stick with them or if I'm even going to use them when I graduate.
Yeah, and that's okay. It's okay. Okay, let's go on to number two.
Okay, my second one is self-regulation is key, and this one is in regards to schoolwork specifically. It's very different than high school, where your teachers assign you homework that's due weekly, and they grade them often, and I don't know, you have lots of grades in the grade book, and there's teachers and principals and deans and parents holding you accountable. But when you come to college, no one's really holding you accountable. You don't even have to go to class, and your teachers probably won't notice. And you sometimes you'll just have, like, two grades in the grade book, and it's the midterm and the final. And in between there, your teacher's just lecturing, your professor's just lecturing, and you have to figure out how to, like, you have to assign your own homework and make sure that you're actually doing what you're assigning yourself, which is where the self-regulation comes in. Otherwise, you cannot be reading the book and just going to class and not listening to the lecture, and then your midterm will come up and you'll have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, or you're trying to cram the night before. And
yeah, so planning is definitely key. That's what I learned. You want to chunk out all of your homework. And as soon as I get my syllabus, I look through, like, all of the assignments and chunk out, like, write down when things are due and then block out when I'm going to do, like, how I'm going to get it done. And I assign my own homework, like I said. Like, I'll be like, tonight you're going to make a crew graphic visual for you to put these concepts together. And then this night you're going to make a chart and, like, write down all the definitions. And this night you're going to make sure you review this chapter. All that while you're still reading. It's a lot of reading.
Right, right. That's awesome. And then if you don't do it, you're the only one that's responsible, right?
Your grade is a reflection of, like, how much work you put in most of the time.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and go to number three.
Okay. I said, if you're not practicing introspection, you're doing it wrong. So,
what is introspection to you?
To me, it's like reflecting and looking inward. So your experiences with other people and with classes, they should make you think, how does that relate to me and what can I be doing to better myself? And, like, looking back, oh, I failed this exam or I didn't get a good grade on this essay. How can I do better so that next time, instead of just, like, being like, oh, I got a bad grade, I'm gonna move on. Also, I thought about this one. My friend actually told me this one, and we went to lunch yesterday, and we were talking about, we sat there for 3 hours, and she goes to Cornell University, and she's from Eritrea. We just talked about how, like, the climate, like, in college, when you're ethnic, is so different. Conversing with other people that aren't similar to you really makes you reflect on your privileges and your life experiences and how it's different from everyone else's. And it just makes you see the world bigger than yourself. And that's really what that one means. So, like, if you're not doing that when you're in college, if you're just here to get your degree, you're doing college wrong, I think. That's my opinion.
Yeah, so really getting to know yourself, your own identities,
yeah,
like how you really start to be around a lot of different people.
Yeah.
In a lot of different ways.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Especially being like of color in college. She was talking about how most people didn't even know that Eritrea was a country or where it is or anything. And that really, like, she was just surprised by that. Like, that's her country and that's her home.
And her life.
And like, her life. And yeah, people are like, so oh, weird. That exists? What is that? Like, I don't know. Everyone can come from different backgrounds. And
yeah.
Meeting people like that, I think, is, like, the best way to grow and like, look towards yourself and reflect on what, who you are and who you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we could do a whole podcast on people of color experiences at, like, a predominantly white institution.
Yeah.
Because Cornell is probably predominantly white, I think.
Yeah, most colleges are
predominantly. Yeah.
She said that there was, like, a large Asian population there.
Okay.
Yeah. But then I had another friend. She goes to CU Boulder. All three of us met, and she's half Filipino. I mean, she was talking about her experiences, too. And it was just cool because we were all talking about that. And so we talked about how sometimes we sit in lectures, and we look around, and there's no one, like, of color. And you look around, and it's crazy to, like, be the only one. Like, that. You, like, it seems like you're the only one. Like, all eyes are on you, and when we go to classes, we look for someone to sit with that's, like, of color, too, so that we don't feel left out. But so we feel like a lot of people don't go through those experiences. And it's not wrong if you don't. Like, everyone has their own. It's just most people don't know that happened. Like, some people wouldn't even think to, like, walk into a class and feel like, oh, I feel different from everyone else.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think it's so amazing that you have people who you can talk about that with who are going through that, too, and trying to figure out what that means for them and what that means for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so that one was, like, where introspection came in, just meeting people and, like, learning about their experiences and then reflecting that.
Yeah.
About your own experience.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's really amazing that you have that. So, number four.
I wrote down, adult relationships must be intentional. I started writing have to be, but I felt like must was, like a guarantee you have to do this in order to have a relationship with someone, and they have to be intentional. In high school, you see everyone every day, so you don't really have to worry about losing contact with them because you see them every day. So it's, like, interesting when you go to college, you see who is really your friend and who was just your friend because you saw them every day.
Yeah. And what does intentional, how do you have intentional relationships? How have you figured out how to do that?
So when you go home, you have to, like, reach out to people and say, hey, when are you free? What are you doing? What does your schedule look like? Can we meet up for coffee or something? And you connect like that. And that also is revealing if you're the only one reaching out to those people and they're not, like, giving back or making an effort to see you, then it's clear that relationship was seasonal and it was from the past. And it's the same with
college
relationships too, because no one is on the same schedule, so
yeah, everybody's going and coming and
yeah, and so, like, you could see someone and, like, you have your class friends and that's nice, and then you'll never see them again unless you reach out to them and say, hey, we should meet up and study together, or we should go get dinner together. And so relationships after high school, that's, I guess, why put as the adult definition, because I don't feel like an adult yet.
She put air quotations, but you can't see.
Oh, yeah. Adult. I put air quotations. But yeah, so, like, in college, relationships just, it feels like you have to put a lot of effort into them, otherwise they'll just fall through. It's sad, but it's the truth, and it's something that I've learned.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my own experience, sometimes people are in your life just for a season, like you were saying, and that's okay. And sometimes they might come back,
That's true.
Know, in a different season of your life. And I've had definitely relationships come and go, and I've come and go in other people's lives as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay.
Again, my friend and I were talking, we were all talking about this at lunch yesterday, how friendships can be seasonal, and, like, you come into each other's lives and you grow with them, and then when it's time to go, it doesn't mean anything's bad or that something has to happen. It's just sometimes they fall through, but doesn't mean you can't, like, connect in the future again, like you were saying.
Yeah, and especially with social media, it's super easy to do.
That one was a hard lesson for me to learn, when you think someone was your friend and then you haven't talked to them since graduation or even before that.
And I'm sure that that's really hard, especially if you feel really close to that person.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, I thought we were way closer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a hard...
So thinking of it through that, like, seasonal friends perspective, like, that really helped me. Like, just because we're not hanging out all the time doesn't mean that we're not cool.
Yeah. All right, so number five.
I said taking care of your mental health is just as important as taking care of your physical health. And this one was really personal to me, especially, I mean, they're all personal to me, but this one, I feel like a lot of people don't talk about the mental health in college, or you do, but you don't think it's going to happen to you. It's like the invincibility phallus, where you think that nothing can happen to you. And that's where I was at, but it happened to me, and it's just a culture shock going to college, and like you're not with your family anymore or any of the friends that you grew up with, and you don't know anyone, and you go, and it's college, school is harder, and you don't have those support groups to support you, and it just takes a toll on your mental health. So I wrote about this in one of my college essays. I wrote, like, if you have a broken hand, you wouldn't just say, oh, I'll deal with it later. Like, you have to deal with it right in that moment because you need your hand, and it hurts. So... I think that's how we should treat mental health. Like, if you're feeling anxious or upset or resentful or any of those negative emotions, you should deal with it and get help and talk to someone about it and practice self-care, because everything else will get better once you take care of that. Like, if you just say, I'm gonna deal with this later, it'll just keep getting worse. Just like if you dealt with a broken hand like that, it wouldn't get better. It would just keep getting worse.
Yeah. So how do you take care of yourself? How have you learned to do that self-care and kind of... So I guess in my experience, I've seen people just say, oh, well, I'm just going to go get a drink for self-care, like an alcoholic drink, or I'm going to go get my toes done or whatever. I'm going to go to the batting cages.
Well, those are like definitely forms of self-care, I think. Like, it's probably different for every person, like whatever works for them. For me, I find, like, reaching out to someone really helps. Like, someone that I trust and someone that I know knows my background with it, with my problems. Reaching out to them really helps me. Like, just talking through it and getting an objective perspective on the outside helps. For me, like, dancing is a good outlet. Like, if I go work out or dance, all those endorphins just make me feel a little better. And I've also learned, especially, that... when you're sick, like if you have strep throat or you're throwing up, like you'll take a sick day. If you're feeling just overwhelmed, it's okay to take a day off and just take care of yourself. Maybe get some extra sleep or get that extra homework done. But like, don't make it a habit. Don't like be like, this is my mental health day. But
yeah, I think that's a fine balance. And I think if we can do more daily habits that do help us take care of ourselves, working out, going dancing, whatever that is, then you don't have to just take the whole day off. I mean, and I think you do need that every now and then, but...
Yeah, just like you don't take... when you get a cold, you don't take the whole day off. But if you take, like, little steps during the day...
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you have to find that balance for yourself, though, and try not to just say, well, I'm just gonna just do all my mental health, like, self-care in one day, and then not do anything for the next month. Yeah. Like, that's not gonna be very healthy either.
I just think it's so easy to put off your mental health and be like, well, I know I'm stressed out right now, but it's fine. I'll deal with it later. I'm stressed out. That's college kids are supposed to be stressed out. That's normal. But it'll keep spiraling down if you don't deal with it when it happens. And it's scary. But I feel like a lot of people go through it, especially in college.
Yeah. And a lot of times that's when students first start realizing that, oh, I might need to take care of this. Like, it kind of comes at them full force when they're in college for the first time.
Yeah. It just, something, I don't know, it's just really important, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing that you figured that
out for yourself. It's because you get so busy, especially for me, I'm a busybody, so I like to plan a whole bunch of events and cram in, like, and this is when I'm going to study, and this is when I'm going to see this person, and then I'm going to go to rehearsals and do this, and then I have class at this time, and I need to eat somewhere in there, and I forgot to pack a lunch. So I don't know, just when you're stressed, like, you can't do any of that. Or not just stressed, but like if you're feeling depressed or anxious or any of those, it's going to be really hard to do any of the things that you want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that talking to other people who have gone through similar things, like I have a couple friends who have had similar experiences, talking to them really helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. Number six?
Yeah. Oh, this one goes along with five. It's ask for help when you need it. It goes along with number five as for mental health and physical health. Like, obviously, ask for help if you need it, especially with mental health. But also in class, like, if you're struggling, you should ask a classmate and say, hey, like, I don't understand this. Can we meet up? Or to your professor. This is something I need to work on, and that's why I realized it's a lesson I learned. Because sometimes I would sit in class and not understand something and then just let myself not understand it or stress about it and, like, research online when there's so many resources, tutors, and the professor has office hours and people who do understand it in your class.
It's wild because they're convenient and they're free.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. But why don't we use them? You know, or use them as much?
I feel like a lot of people don't know about some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's good to ask for help. If you don't know about opportunities, it's good to talk about how you're feeling with someone. And they can be like, oh, I know, like, this that could help you with that. Or there's, like, this writing center. You're struggling writing this essay. There's a writing center. Or there's tutoring in Ross every Wednesday night or something like that.
Yeah, and that's why I love, or why I'm really passionate about this podcast, because I feel like so many students go through college and then they find out later what was there that happened to me, I guess. Well, I didn't know about, or I didn't take advantage of that opportunity, like being an orientation leader or getting a leadership certificate or learning how to build a business when there are resources on campus for those types of things.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many really cool things that are free.
And just students just don't know about, and they just sit in their dorm or room and struggle, and when they could be getting so much help. Beneficial help, yeah.
Yeah, and living the life that they actually want to live, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. So key. Number seven?
Yeah. This one builds off of that one too. Use office hours. And
well, what are office hours?
Office hours are periods of time where your professor sets out, that your professor designates for questions, basically, like, or to talk to them. So they'll just sit in their office and wait for students to come to them and talk to them about material in class. A lot of professors just sit there and no one ever comes in and visits them. Yeah.
Yeah, so use them.
Use them, because I didn't. And I went once I had a humanities class and we had a really big paper due at the end of the year. And I really wanted to, like, discuss my resources and make sure I was on the right track. And so I made an appointment and I went in and it was so helpful. And I got an A on that paper and I just wish, it was at the end of the spring semester. So I was almost done with my whole first year of college. And that was the first time I used my office hours. And I was like, why didn't I do this sooner? It would have helped with all of my other classes.
Oh, so true. I connected with a professor in office hours my junior year. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it was the first time that I ever went to a professor's office hours without having to, without it being part of a class.
Yeah.
And I connected with him and he basically helped me get into grad school, and I would have never known how to do that or why I would do that or why I should do that until I met with him, and it was so good and it was so helpful. So he really, like, changed the trajectory of like my path.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like, professors have so many experiences and they've already done what you're doing and they're experts in that field. So if you are really interested in what they had to say, I'm sure they're even more passionate about it.
Yeah.
And so when you go talk to them, it might ignite something in you. Yeah. Like when I talked to my advisor for psychology, I was still kind of skeptical about staying with psychology, but she was in the cognitive neuroscience and I could tell that she was really passionate about it. She started talking about it and it made me passionate about it. So I don't know, just going to talk to them, you can learn a lot.
Yeah.
And plus, if you're trying to go to grad school, like, you need letters of recommendation.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you just go to class and never talk to professors, you're not going to have anyone to give you recommendations.
Yeah, that's so true. Number eight.
Oh, this one I said, it's okay to change. This one, yeah. So, in high school, I was this really busybody. I did a lot of things. I was one of the editors for the yearbook, and in National Honor Society and the dance captain for the school musical. And I participated in leadership, and I was still dancing 20 hours on the side plus teaching two classes. And that was me in high school, and I felt like, I took pictures at every event, and like that's who I was in high school. And I came here and I didn't, like, almost all that was gone. I stopped dancing as much, and it was a huge shock for me. And I was just, when I first came here, I was trying to be that person still. I was trying to make myself the same person that I was in high school. And I realized that's, even because I liked myself in high school. I liked who I was. And I know a lot of people come to college and they're like, I was a little brat in high school or something. And they're like, I'm in college now, I'm gonna, like, I want to change that way. But for me, I didn't want to change. I was like, I want to be this person that I was in high school because I liked that person. But I learned that just because I am changing and I'm maybe not the same person, it doesn't mean it's a bad change. And I always thought that was it. I like came here and I was like, well, because I'm not doing all of that, I'm changing and like it's bad and I'm not as cool as I used to be. I'm not as smart as I used to be. I'm not going to do anything because I'm not doing all of those things and I don't like who I am anymore. But it's okay to, that's my lesson. It's okay to change, and it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And you, I mean, some changes can be bad, but you can make changes good, and it's okay if you're changing. I'm finding new passions that I like here that I never thought. And when I was first realizing those passions, I was like, no, I didn't do that in high school. I don't want to be that girl. But
now you're like, maybe I am that girl.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I am. Especially because I danced so vigorously my whole life. Since I was 4, I danced 20 plus hours a week. And I came here and I didn't do that. And so I, like, we talked about this. I felt like I lost my identity. And I was so confused about that. And I was like, I'm changing. And I didn't want to change. I wanted to keep dancing. And then we talked about how maybe I can find a new identity. If I put as much hours into something else that I loved, like maybe psychology or journalism, think about how good I could be at that and how passionate I could be about that. And that's a good change, even though I'm losing dance a little bit. Like, dance will always be a part of me, but just because I'm losing that, it doesn't mean, I mean, it's okay for me to change and take on a different identity. It doesn't mean I'm less cool or less smart or not the same person.
Yeah, and I think even reframing of losing dance to it's changing.
Yeah.
You know, because you still are involved with dance. Yeah. It just looks a lot different than what it used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's okay.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, that was a really big lesson.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing my friends, they're changing, and it felt like they were changing for the better. Like, they were getting all these great scholarships and these opportunities, and I felt like, oh my god, I'm not doing that.
Like comparing yourself.
Yeah, and being like, well, the old me would have liked to do that. My old me would have done that. And I was like, the new me, the changed me, this bad version of me is not as competent, which isn't true. Like, the new version of me, I am changing. This is what I learned. I am changing, and that's okay, and I'm changing for the better.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna grow.
Yeah, girl. I mean, and I've just seen, you know, you've changed for the better, too, and learn and grow, and you are so reflective and open to learning, and you love learning, and I think that is amazing. And I almost would say, you know, yes, it's okay to change. I think it's not okay if you aren't changing.
That's true.
You know, I mean, think about the transition, moving away from home for the first time, coming to college, you're in a completely different environment with completely different people from all these different backgrounds, experiences, mm-hmm. Goals, interests. You're trying to figure out, like, what do you really want to do with your life?
And yeah.
And you're having all this pressure while you're 18, 19, or, I mean, even if you're a different age, there's just so many different things changing. And if you aren't changing, I feel like maybe that's not okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, growing. Because I think some things that I struggled with was, like, well, I liked certain parts. Like, I liked who I was, and I don't want to change that. So I really value kindness, empathy, and so I make sure, like, I've always, like, made sure that I am empathetic and kind towards people, and I was like, well, I don't want to change that.
Yeah. Like, or maybe getting better at that.
So, yeah, right? I can grow in that, and that's still change.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same, but, like, better.
Definitely. That's an amazing change.
Yes.
We should all be happy or working towards that. Number
9. I said, you become the people you surround yourself with. And this is so true, even Even I found that when I was hanging out with like my dance friends all the time, I had their mannerisms and I said things like similar phrases that they would say and all of that. And then when I came here to college, like I started changing again. I started saying different things based on like the people I was hanging out with and not hanging out with. And it was really, that's just like really cool to see and really interesting. But basically, I am hanging out with a lot of performing arts students right now. And so I didn't used to be super into the performing arts, but now I love it. And your interests fall in line with the people you surround yourself with and your motivations. And
yeah, I think that's awesome. It's exciting and it can be really scary too, depending on who you're surrounding yourself with, right? Because that's exciting that, okay, I can be around all these people mm-hmm. who are trying to go for their dreams and trying to do amazing things with their life and who are motivating and encouraging and inspiring. Yeah. And that is like where I hope every student can get and can find. But you can also be in this other space where people are unmotivated and discouraging and they are just trying to get by mm-hmm. in life. And if you surround yourself with them, then do you become that? You know, that's kind of scary.
That's too, right. It scares me because, like, you could love those people too. Those people who aren't super ambitious or working super hard to make something for themselves. You could love them and love who they are, and they could be great people. So that's like hard because you want them in your life, but if you're around them, you're more likely to become like that as well. I learned in my psych class that depression and like things that you wouldn't expect are contagious. Like yawning, of course, is contagious. But then you also talked about how depression is contagious. Like if you surround yourself with people who are always negative or pessimistic, that's contagious. They even said obesity is contagious. So if you hang around people who might be more overweight, you become like that as well. And so that's just really scary. So you want to make sure you're surrounding yourself with, for me, I want to surround myself with highly motivated, ambitious, supportive, kind people that believe in me and I believe in them. And so I become like that and I can radiate and they can radiate and we can all thrive together.
Yeah, I think that's like the dream, right?
Yeah.
And it's okay if you don't want that, I guess, right? But
yeah,
it's
just everyone has their own preferences on who they want to be.
Yeah, and who they want to be. But then at least you can be intentional about who you surround yourself with.
Yeah,
right?
But like not in a manipulative way. You're not like, oh, that person is smart, I want to be with them. But like just realizing when there's people in your life that aren't helping you grow.
Yeah, and I think just that awareness is so key. Mm-hmm. And the more that you can be aware of how you show up, who you are, mm-hmm. and like who's around you is just important, like that awareness piece. And I think you are just becoming so aware of all those things. Yeah. And I don't know like if it's just who you are or if it's your psychology classes or whatever, but it's all of that combined.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really important.
Mm-hmm. Like when I was with my friends yesterday, I felt like just super empowered by both of them.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yeah, and we talked about so many different things, just doing great things and what the world is like today and where we live. And we like talked about, we had conversations that might be a little more difficult. And I don't know, it's just like, I want to surround myself with people like that because I want to be like that.
Oh, love that. Yeah. Yes. Keep doing that then. And maybe that is where, you know, we're talking about adult relationships must be intentional. Maybe mm-hmm. that's where you try to connect with them more often, you know, or every time they're home.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, then y'all meet once a semester or something mm-hmm. to where you can all connect and just have coffee and...
Yeah.
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 That's awesome.
It just... Those people that when you talk to them, you have conversations and you just feel energized by it.
Yes.
Those are the people I want to be surrounded by.
Yeah, and you're one of those people, so...
Thanks. Definitely highly motivated, because right now I haven't really been surrounded by the most academically motivated people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to, like, find people within my major who find interest in what I find interest in so we can all be passionate about that and, like, study and, like, work towards common goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it, girl. number 10?
10. I said, stay in contact with your family. And this one's like kind of cliche, I feel like. But I'm really close with my family, and it's easy when you're in college to forget to call your mom or call your dad. You could go weeks or months without talking to them. And that's scary. I don't know, because they're not here, you can do whatever you want. If you want to party every night, you can. If you want to go out to a movie at 11 o'clock on a Thursday night, you can do that. And it's just crazy. And you can, getting caught up in the college life, you can forget where you came from and who got you there. And so I think it's so good to stay in contact with your family. They ground you. I know that's cheesy, but they ground you, and they probably appreciate it too. Like, my mom said she had a friend that sent her son a letter because she was like, hey, like, I really miss you. If you call me, I'll give you $20 or something like that. Like, there'll be money in this envelope I'll send money if you call me or something like that. And I think, like, I don't know, your family really appreciates it when you reach out to them and let them know how you're doing. And what I found is they love to, like, talk with you about your experiences too, especially my family, because none of them went to college, so it's like brand new for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I had a podcast where I interviewed this other girl, and she was talking about how hard it was to actually talk to her family
really
about college, because there was such a disconnect.
Yeah,
and they didn't really want to know about it.
Really?
And so she felt like a hard time kind of sharing that too, because she wanted to be like, oh, this is what I'm doing. Not in a bragging way, but in a, I'm so excited, this is what my life is like.
And thank you. Like, maybe that was her way of saying thank you as well.
Yeah, like, yes, yeah. Like, she was saying that's why she's here, was because of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's hard when you're, like, trying to say, like, these are the experiences you gave me. And they're like, no, thank you. Like, it's hard for us to hear you talk about that.
Yeah, but I think it's refreshing that your family is very, like, invested in, like,
yeah,
what's going on. And
yeah.
And so it's just different family experiences, but definitely staying in touch is so important.
Yeah, and there's a fine line there too, because you don't want to get too connected to your family, or like, you're gonna get homesick in college, it's inevitable, but you have to like push through that too, because if you're always in contact with your family, if you're going home every single weekend, then you're not gonna grow, you're not gonna learn, and you're not gonna meet new people, because you're gonna be at home.
Yeah.
11. This is one that I'm definitely still working on, so I thought I'd include it. It's find a balance between planning for the future and setting small short-term goals. And for me, that personality test, I'm a protagonist, so I'm a dreamer, and I like to plan for the future. And I like to dream about things that could be, and I believe that I can do them. And then I think about how cool it would be. I love taking pictures, and I love photographing people and events, and I was going to start like a whole little side hustle with that. I was gonna create an Instagram and have business cards and a website and advertise all of that. And I started like thinking like, it would be cool if I could do this when I did that, and cool if I could do this. And then I didn't set short-term goals to help me get there because I was intimidated by the big process. Mm-hmm. And so you have to find a balance between like dreaming and like action.
Doing. Yeah. Exactly.
And like, so that's cool. So thinking that's cool, that could happen in the future. And then like, you're right now and you're like, well, what can I do right now to take a couple steps forward to make that happen?
Yeah, that's so true.
And I definitely am on the dreaming side. I'm always, oh, it'd be cool if I did this, or it'd be cool if I could do this. And then,
yeah, and Jordan's referring to this personality test. It's called, it's 16 personalities.
Yeah.
So the number 16personalities.com. And if you go take a test on there, it's quick. It's about 10 or 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Whenever I took it, I started reading all the things, and I was like, they wrote this for me.
Yeah. It's pretty accurate.
So wild. Yeah, it was spot on. So I would be curious to see if anybody else takes it who's listening to this podcast and sharing what you learned from it. That would be great. But yeah, I think that finding that balance between planning for your future, you need to dream and have big goals, but then you also have to plan backwards.
Yeah.
I've heard it called reverse engineering.
Oh.
Of like, so seeing how other people are doing it and where did they get started, and how can you model it or do it in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just planning backwards. And we can do that later if you'd like.
Yeah. Like, I actually have been thinking about this because we talked about like internships over the summer and like being in New York, how I want to be in New York. And so I've been thinking next summer, even the summer after that, I'm going to start researching internships in New York, and then I'm going to think about, okay, so what experiences can I have, and what can I do now to make a resume look good so that I can apply to that internship and be more qualified for it.
That's so small, but those little things are going to help you get to that big thing.
Yeah, because right now you look at those internships and you're like, wow, those are huge, and you need lots of qualifications to get those, and then you, like you always say, well, what's stopping you? Do it and make it happen.
Yeah. Number 12?
12, I said, college can be lonely and you're not going to make friends right away. And I just wanted to be realistic with this because I feel like it's not talked about a lot. How, I mean, when you're getting brochures in the mail and they're advertising college in movies and online and in advertisements, you see people with lots of friends and you see going to parties. And in movies, it's already like a set of group of people and they hang out all the time and they go to class together. And that's not the case, especially your freshman year. Probably maybe like later in college.
It could be, for sure.
Yeah, you could definitely have that later in college. But at least in your freshman year, college can get really lonely, especially when you don't know anyone going in. It's hard to make friends at first. Don't have expectations of meeting people right away and having your solid friend group. If you do, that's awesome. Like, that's great. Like, right? Good for you. But what I found was, like, talking to my friends who also, like, went to college for the first year this past year, they felt like they were alone a lot of the time and they didn't really make a solid friend group. You don't have the same schedule as anyone, so it's really hard. Like, you can meet someone and then you'll never see them again.
So I have a question about that. What's one way or two ways that you feel like, or something that you did that really helped you make friends?
Well, I'm definitely still working on it because I'm still learning that relationships have to be intentional. You're not just going to run into people. You have to reach out and say, hey, let's connect.
Like, let's grab lunch after class, or let's go get coffee.
Yeah, and it can be awkward. It can be really awkward. Like, this person you don't even know, you just met them, you just learned their name, and you're like, hey, like, let's go do this. And you might find you really like them, and you might find, like, oh, we don't really click. Like, this isn't a good pair.
And that's okay.
Yeah. So, it's something that I'm still working on, definitely. I have gotten really involved in the performing arts program at UNC, and that is a tighter-knit community. So that's where I started making most of my friends because I was seeing them more often. Like, you're going to shows and you're seeing the same people at shows. And I'm going to rehearsals after getting cast in shows and I'm seeing those people as well. And so it's, like, really cool. And then I have common interests with them. So then you are automatically connecting and clicking. So I think a good way to make friends is to find something that you're interested in and find a group of people. Because I assure you, there's probably some group on campus that is passionate about what you're passionate about, and one that makes it easier to connect with them. And if they meet regularly, then you're seeing them. That's a group of people that you're seeing regularly.
Yeah, I think that is key, like spending more time with people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just found that even when I moved from Maryland to Colorado as a 28-year-old or 29-year-old, something like that, and just trying to make friends, you can't just go have coffee with them once a semester. Yeah. I mean, you can, and sometimes that's the only time you have, or that's the only time they have.
Yeah.
But you're not going to build as close of a relationship until you start connecting more frequently. So.
Yeah. And it can be, like, awkward at first. And there's, like, it can kind of feel weird because you're like, I don't want to seem like this weird girl that's like, hey, let's meet up all this time, even though we just met. So that's something that I'm still, like, trying to figure out.
Yeah. It's a balance.
Yeah. Oh, and, like, with the college can be lonely. Like, you have your own schedule. So a lot of the times you'll go to class and you'll have your class friends and then you'll leave and you'll walk to class by yourself and you'll go to another class. And it feels like the whole day you're kind of just spending the whole day by yourself. And you'll go to dinner and, like, none of your friends have a lab or they're in rehearsal. And so you're like, oh, I guess I'm eating dinner alone tonight. And then you'll go back to your room and you'll study alone and then you'll go to bed and wake up and do it again. So.
Or you might go on social media and start being like, oh.
Yeah, oh, these people went camping together this weekend. That's cool. I'm not.
Yeah.
So it can be lonely, but I, like, just, it's okay that you're not, that, like, you don't have friends right away. And I've had upperclassmen tell me, like, they didn't make their solid friend group until, like, junior year of college or even the second semester of sophomore year.
Yeah, just keep at it.
Yeah. My 13th one is try to connect with a staff member or a faculty member that is a little bit older than you and has already done what you're doing. So for me, I connected with someone here at UNC, and this person was a grad student, and they had a job on campus that was specifically targeted towards reaching out to undergraduate students and helping them. And it really helped me, and I first went in kind of skeptical. I was like, this is kind of interesting. I guess I'll just meet with this person and see what it's about. And then I continued meeting with that person throughout the year, like every 2 weeks, and it really, really helped me find resources. One, those resources that we were talking about, and just talk about the struggles that I was having academically and personally, and talk through those. And it helped because this person already had gone through it and could give solid, tangible advice and skills for me to work on. And especially coming in as a first-generation student, I could talk to my family, but they couldn't relate and they couldn't give me the resources. I remember when I was undeclared, I was trying to figure out who my advisor was and who I could talk to. And my mom she tried doing her research online, but she was just giving me numbers and emails that I knew weren't the right thing. And it was really sweet that she was trying to help, but she just didn't know. Yeah. And that's not her fault. So it was really nice to connect with someone who knew and could help me. Oh, another example is living off campus. My mom could not understand how that was cheaper. And this person that I connected with helped me helped me explain to her why it was cheaper, and explain to me how that would work out with my financial aid. And that's just something that I wouldn't have known without this person.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome to have an insider almost.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times there are so many staff and faculty on campus across the country who want to help you,
That's probably why they're teaching out of college.
Yeah, they want you to have all the experiences and opportunities and grow as a human and all of these things. But if you don't reach out to them sometimes, or you don't answer that email, or if you don't go to office hours, then mm-hmm. You can just literally go through college and not really connect with anybody.
Yeah. And then what's the point of going to college? I mean, you're getting a degree, but have you really become a better, smarter, more aware person?
Yeah, and that's just networking in general and learning more about people and their experiences, especially your faculty
mm-hmm.
who are very specific in what they're researching and teaching about, that they know so much in those fields. Mm-hmm. It's so much free knowledge. It's so amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I think this is probably one of my most important ones, that you probably don't hear a lot when you read those BuzzFeed 10 things that you should know about college or something. That's something that they don't say, connect with someone, not just classmate, but find someone who is maybe a little bit older, not too much older, not a professor that's in their 70s that still doesn't know how to use their iPhone or something, but like a grad student. I think that's perfect. They already did their undergrad. They can still relate to you in a lot of ways, and I don't know, it really helped me get through my first year of college. I don't think I would have been able to do it without this person.
Number 14.
College is what you make it. That's my 14th one. And this one, everyone has probably heard this, you can make college whatever you want it to be. But it's so true. For me, I came in and I was looking for a youth group to connect with, and I found four already. I found so many of those, and then I was like, oh, I want to dance still. And I found an off-campus dance company that is a nonprofit, so they don't even charge you to dance there, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. And then I found the dance minor, and then I started auditioning for dance shows here. And so literally I made that's what my college experience was my first year. I went to youth group and I danced and then I really wanted to get into musicals, and so I found that group and I started auditioning for those shows. But if I was all of a sudden got super interested in environmental studies and sustainability, there's programs on campus that deal with that. Or if I really liked film, there's film clubs that show screenings of films and record films. And so literally if I was interested in any of those, I could reach out and connect with them and make college whatever I want. And it's so easy to just go to class and do your homework and go back to your room and do nothing. And that's the college experience that you're creating if you're doing that. But, so, I don't know, like, college is really what you make it to be.
Yeah, and I think if you can take everything that college is worth, I mean, it's so expensive. So my thing is, get your money's worth. Like, yeah, let's get your money's worth of college, mm-hmm, and do all of these things that you're talking about and putting, yeah, yourself out there.
And just and try it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because even if you don't like it, you can say, hey, that's not for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Great. But I tried it. And if you, yeah, do like it, then that's a new experience. That's a new part of you that you didn't know that you have now.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of people think, oh, college is going to class and getting that degree. But I feel like it's so much more than that. Like, yes, the learning, the textbook part is important, and that's going to be important for the rest of your life. But the people you meet and the experiences you have are even more important. And, like, the things that you learn about yourself and about other people are, like, so important. Like, how you learn and how you show up and the type of people that you're drawn to and the things that make you, like, so passionate that you can't sleep because you're thinking about it in your head. Like, those are the really important things in college so far that I've learned. I mean, I'm probably going to learn so much more. Still 3 more years plus if I go to grad school, but...
Yeah, so in a year, we're going to have to do a recap of what you learned your sophomore year.
Yeah.
What are you still trying to learn on this list?
Yeah, probably.
Just kidding.
Some of them I'll probably be learning for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Same here.
Yeah. College is so cool. Yeah. And I don't know, just feel really honored to go to college because not a lot of people, like, my parents didn't have the opportunity. My mom tells me every day that she wishes that she had gone and created, like, that life for herself.
Yeah, and that sense of gratitude of, I can't believe I'm here and I get this opportunity.
Yeah.
You should be using every, yeah, moment as an opportunity to learn and grow.
Yeah, never in your life will you be presented with so many people and so many people who want the same thing and so many people who are just in the same place as you. You're in your own bubble and you're on a college campus sometimes.
Well, I think that's all for today, but let's go through them really quick.
Okay.
Just so we can have a recap.
Okay.
We can just go back and forth.
Okay.
Okay.
1, you never really know what you're doing.
2, self-regulation is key.
3, if you're not practicing introspection, you're doing it wrong.
4, adult relationships must be intentional.
5, taking care of your mental health is just as important as taking care of your physical health.
6, ask for help when you need it.
7, use office hours. I wrote it in all caps.
8, it's okay to change.
9, you become the people you surround yourself with.
10, stay in contact with your family.
11, find a balance between planning for the future and setting small short-term goals.
12, college can be lonely and you're not going to make friends right away. 13, connect with faculty, staff, or more experienced peers.
14, college is what you make it.
Thank you so much, Jordan. I really appreciate you for sharing your words of wisdom. I do think you've learned so much, and I am just so excited to see what happens in the next 2 or 3 years when you graduate. It's going to be so awesome, and we're going to definitely stay in touch, keep the audience in touch as well, because I think it would be really fun for them to see you grow even more. So
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the College Life Podcast today. I just wanted to wrap up with a couple things that I really hope that you took away from this episode. And the first one is that this is really just what Jordan learned her freshman year. So if you are a first-year student or even a sophomore, junior, or senior, you know, you might learn all of these. You may have learned some of them, none of them. Or maybe you can even create your own list and share them on this podcast in the future. So definitely reach out if you're interested. But the second thing too, that I really wanted you to take away is that Jordan really talked about how she is still learning from all of these experiences. And she's still learning some of these things, even though she shared that she learned them, but she was still working on them. And that's just really an important lesson. It's an important life lesson to learn that we are always learning, we are always growing, and that the sooner that you can understand that, the sooner that you can maybe take more risks and put yourself out there and really pursue what you really want to do in life. I also just want to mention that Jordan is so self-aware, and she's really put in the work her freshman year to do this. So take a look at your journey, reflect, and just take one more step towards learning more about who you are as a person and it will help you figure out what you want to do next. One tangible way to do this, Jordan shared this a little bit on the podcast, but you can take the 16 personalities test. I will link that free test in the show notes so that way you can take a look at it. Also, I just did a couple Skype interviews for the first time, so I'm really excited about that, and they worked out really well. So if you end up taking the 16 personalities test and you want to share what you learned with other college students, I would love to have you on. Please reach out to me on my Instagram at The College Life Coach. Or if you have any questions or reflections that you really want to share about this episode or about another episode, don't hesitate to reach out. And I just want to let you know I appreciate every single one of you and that college is so worth it, but it's more than a degree. And it's time that you get your money's worth. Have an excellent week, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.